Let me hear you say, oh.
Song I sing, and it's my single on the radio right now, and it's featuring my father, Pastor John P. Key, and it's called One More Time. Can I sing a little bit of it? Let's do it.
Woo! Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Can I get a little bit right here, please? Listen. Lord, you hear me when I call your name. Nothing's too hard. You can do anything. I try so hard to put my trust in you, but my faith is depending on me. Lord, I need you to
one more time.
Yeah,
Lord, I need you.
Yeah,
to do it one more time.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do it one more time. Oh, because Lord, I realize I know I can't make it without you. I can't do it. Do it on my own. I tried and I tried, but Lord, I know. I know I can't make it without you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Turn the track up just a little bit more. Can I sing a second verse? Listen. Ooh, that's one thing that I know is true. And that's when everything else fell, Lord. I can count on you. With tears in my eyes, down on my knees. Can you do what you did before, Lord? I'm asking you, believe. Oh, yes. Anybody need it this morning? Can you just wave your hand? One more time. Oh, Lord, I'm depending on you to heal me one more time. You said trial come to make me strong. So, Lord, I need you. I know you're able. Yeah. Come on, let's go to church. Oh, Lord, I need you to do it. Please, Jesus. I know that you're able, so I'm calling on you. I'm calling everybody else, and they just do it for me. Yes, yes. Listen, I know you. I know that you can, just like you did before. Lord, can you pull me through? He did it for me. So he'll do it for you. I know he will. Yes. Oh, Lord. Will the doctor say no? Yes, he will. He's always right on time. Just when I need him. He's step right in. Step right in. To do it one more time. Oh, Lordy, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I need you. Come on, if you need the Lord to do it, can you help me sing this? Say, listen, say yes. Say it again, say yes. If you need the Lord to do it, say yes. Say yes. Say yes, He will.
He will. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. Glory to God. Welcome to an evening with Jesus in the Word. Glory to God. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Today is Thursday, June the 7th, 2012. Can you believe it's June the 7th already? Almost summertime. It seemed like the year just started, but thank God for He allowed us to see another day. He gave us another chance to get right what's not right. And we want to just go to the broadcast and start out with prayer. Glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you and praise you today for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your patience, Lord God, and most of all for your forgiveness of sins. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, things that we know that we've done that were out of your will. Father God, things we know that we've done that were wrong, things that we know that we've done that we said, the things that we know that we've said that were wrong, Lord God, and that was out of your will, we ask you to forgive us, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us for everything, Lord God, that has offended you, Lord God, that has brought shame to your name. Lord God, anything that we've done that's considered a sin, God, we ask your forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that this word will fall on good ground on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that the cares of this world will not come and snatch the word out of us, Lord God, that we will hear this word and obey this word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, because it is your word. Father God, your word is life to us, Lord God, and we thank you for your word on tonight. Father God, we ask, oh God, that whoever is listening to this broadcast on tonight, Lord God, or if they turn to the archives to listen to this broadcast, oh God, that if they're not born again, that they will become born again because of the word, oh God. Those that may have backslidden, oh God, we ask you to bring them back to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Those, oh God, hallelujah, who are lukewarm, God, we ask you to bring them back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. For your word says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, Lord God. You said if we're lukewarm, you would spew us out of your mouth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, oh God, that this word will go deep into our spirit, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost will just come and teach tonight. The Holy Ghost will come and take over tonight, God, that it will not be any of Teresa, but that it will be the Holy Spirit teaching, Lord God, as the will of God allows, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, and I just thank you tonight, Lord God. I thank you for the saving strength of your anointed. I thank you. You are my saving strength. I thank you, oh God. Father, I just thank you and bless you on tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're still giving us another chance to get it right, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that even though we know we're not perfect, Lord God, we're striving for perfection. We're striving for maturity in you, Lord God, that we may become more like you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for our minds, all of our minds, God, in the name of Jesus. For your word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Lord God. So, Father, we pray for the mind of Christ tonight, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for obedience, Lord God, to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would help us to crucify, mortify the deeds of this flesh, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit, to teach this broadcast. We need you, Holy Spirit, to help us, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit, to pray for us as we ought, because we don't even know what to pray all the time. We need you, Holy Spirit, to just come in, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. We invite you in, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Father, I just want to say thank you even right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, oh God, hallelujah, for those that are in false religions on tonight, Lord God, that you will redeem them tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, I pray that you will send someone to them to give them understanding of your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And Father, I just thank you for it being done right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, I pray for those who are in the hospital right now that are sick, Lord God, the doctors don't know what's wrong with them, Lord God. I pray for them, God, that you will send healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray for those with diagnosis that they do know what's wrong, but I pray, Lord God, that you will just go throughout the hospitals, Lord God, hallelujah, throughout this world and heal, Lord God, that you will be glorified, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every believer tonight. I pray for us as the body of Christ, Lord God, that we would just come in line to obedience with your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, oh God, that as believers, that signs and wonders will begin to follow us, Lord God. Not that we can get the glory, Lord God, but for you to get the glory, because you said you will share your glory with no man, Lord God. Father, so I pray on tonight, Lord God, that the body of Christ will come together in unity, that we will come together and be on one mind and one accord, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit will go throughout the buildings, Lord God, the churches, Lord God, that have been erected, Lord God, for praise and worship, that you will go throughout, Lord God, the temples and send your Holy Spirit in like as a mighty rushing wind, oh God, in the name of Jesus, like you did in the book of Acts, oh God. But Father, and I thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Refresh us, refill us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And I thank you right now, God, and give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, Father God, in the mighty, 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 mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, this is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and this is An Evening with Jesus and the Word, and we are going to be talking tonight about freedom in the Spirit. Freedom in the Spirit, but we want to talk about hindrances to prayer. You know, there's a lot of debate with people that are talking about, does God answer the prayer of sinners? Well, I know I was a sinner, and God heard my prayer when I said that I repented and, you know, I wanted to give my life to him. He definitely heard that prayer, and I know that is a prayer that he will answer, you know, for sinners. But we have to, as believers, we have to really examine ourselves and ask ourselves, why isn't this prayer being answered? Sometimes the prayer is not being answered because it's just not God's will. sometimes the prayer is not being answered because it's just not the right time for that prayer to be answered. Sometimes prayer is not answered because we ask God for something and we ask him with the wrong motive. Like, Lord, I want to, Lord, bless me to hit the lottery because I just want a lot of money so I can go buy and do what I want to do. You know, and I guess a lot of people have fantasies about winning the lottery and having a lot of money. I know I've had fantasies and dreams and wishes about money and having a lot of money to do what I want to do. I'm not going to say I didn't. But my mindset now was, Lord, if you bless us with a lot of money, we want to do ministry. We want to go forth and do ministry. I have a vision. My husband has a vision. There's things that we want to do in ministry. There's people on the street that are hungry, that are homeless, that we would like to place into homes, not in a shelter where they get turned out every morning, you know, at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and have to go roam the streets all day long. A place where they can go and you know, get comfort and be treated like they are somebody, because in God's eyes they are somebody. You know, teach them some things, you know, from the word of God and build up their self-esteem, things like that. You know, and that's not a selfish motive, but if you're doing it because you want somebody to pat you on the back and say, oh, what a great job you're doing, you know, that's great, you know, and bring all this praise to you, then that motive is wrong. Okay, so might want to check that out. But there are some things that specifically I want to talk about. And one thing that I like, one scripture that I really, really like is when David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. And we need to really think about that. In Psalms chapter 66, verse 18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart. And another thing that I like about David is David, you know, when he sinned, when he did that sin with Bathsheba, where he got Uriah killed and all of that stuff, he didn't say, well, you know, Bathsheba was standing up on the roof and, you know, she was naked. She knew I was over here. You know, she knew I was over here. She shouldn't have been up there taking a bath, and she shouldn't have been naked, or she should have been somewhere. He didn't say all of that. He didn't say all of that. He said, I have sinned. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And then he asked God, he said, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He asked God to wash him and purge him. And he asked God not to take his Holy Spirit from him. I love that. He said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He knew that he offended God. He knew that he had done wrong. And no, he did not immediately go to God and ask him for forgiveness, because my husband says, and other scholars say, that it was a year before he even asked God to forgive him for his sin. It was a year before, you know, he decided to repent of that sin with Bathsheba. And you notice that the sins that he had with Bathsheba caused a whole lot of problems in his family. A whole lot of problems in the family. But we're not talking about that per se tonight. What we want to talk about is, let us examine ourselves and figure out why our prayers are not being answered. Not the ones that are being held up because it's not the right time. And not the ones that's not being answered because it's not the will of God. But we want to look at some serious things here, like what's going on in our heart? What's going on in our heart? Okay? Do we have unconfessed sin in our heart? Do we have things that we do that, you know, we sneak around and do and nobody else knows that we're doing them? Do we have things that we continuously do and we're not even asking God for forgiveness? We're not asking God to cleanse us and wash us? Are we just living a lifestyle of sin? Are there things that we're doing and we're justifying what we do? Okay, well, I'm doing XYZ because, you know, I can't live right because. I'm not going to do this because. And before I forget, I wanted to bring up the scripture. I don't know if my husband's on a computer or not, but I wanted to bring up the scripture with the husbands and wives, because sometimes we forget that too. There's a scripture that says that your prayers be not hindered. And it was pertaining to husbands and wives. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, in the same way. Let me just pull it up for you right quick. Let me just pull that one up right quick, because we like to skip over stuff. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, talking about your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. that your prayers be not hindered. We don't consider that. I don't really hear a lot of people saying anything about that scripture, about the husband's prayers being hindered because he's not treating his wife the right way. And wives, don't get it twisted. Your prayers could be hindered too because you're not treating your husband the right way. Can I get an amen? Amen, Walls. Anyway, I'm just saying, because remember, the husband and the wife are one anyway. Remember that. We can talk about the husband and wives on another broadcast. We're not going to talk about that right now. But we just want to talk about hindrances to prayer. And we got to be real with ourselves, because truthfully, whether you ever, never confess your sins to God, if you have unconfessed sins in your heart, you might think you're fooling God, or I might think I'm fooling God, but no day, no time are we fooling God. It's impossible to fool God. He is all-seeing. He is all-knowing. Okay, it is impossible to fool God. So the only person that's getting fooled would be the person who is not confessing their secret sin to God and not asking God to forgive them, not repenting of that secret sin. That's the only person really, for real, who's being duped, because God is not duped. He's not a man. He can't be fooled. It doesn't matter how far you try to run and hide. It doesn't matter, you know, if you get under a couch, if you get under a bed, if you run to a cave and hide. It doesn't matter where you go. Wherever you go, God knows where you are at all times, and you can't hide anything from him. We cannot hide anything from God. So if you're listening to this broadcast, if you're listening to it live, if you're listening to the archives, if you have unconfessed sins, and I'm going to say if we have unconfessed sins, we need to examine our hearts and we need to say, God, I'm confessing this sin and I'm asking your Holy Spirit to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. I'm asking your Holy Spirit to help me to kill this stuff that keep coming up at me and I just keep doing it. Or you might want to be somebody who says, well, I like what I'm doing, Lord, for real, for real. I know I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I really like what I'm doing. I really like what I'm doing. I'm still doing it. Obviously, I like it. I like it. I like sneaking around. I like having premarital sex. I like lying and stealing. I like doing that, Lord. I like it. So let me just tell you that so I can stop fooling myself. Now I need you to heal me, because I know that you're a holy God and you said be holy for I'm holy. See, we don't talk to God like that. We sneak around, you know, and act like, you know, because the pastor doesn't see you. Hello, Walls. Because the pastor doesn't see you, because, you know, the bishop don't see you, because your friends don't see you, you know, that it's okay. Not going to work. We're here to expose the works of the enemy and to destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. We have that same power within us to destroy the works of the enemy, and that's what God wants us to do, destroy the works of the enemy. But if we don't have the mind of Christ, then we'll continue to operate in unconfessed sins. And see, a lot of things that happens is I've seen people, and I did it myself, so I'm not excluding myself in any way, but I see people go to church all the time and think that because they went to church, everything's cool. I went to church. I got happy. You know, I might even fell out on the floor. Might have sweated a little bit. But then when I leave church, I'm doing the same thing I did before I went in. But yet and still, I want God to answer my prayers. But we're not even considering obeying the gospel. But we want God to answer our prayers. And another thing I want to say is that a lot of times people get things that they ask for. A lot of times people will pray, you know, and they'll say, oh, I got this and I got that because I prayed and, you know, God supplied my need and God this and God did that. And they think that, oh, I'm good with God because I asked for such and such and he gave it to me. That don't mean anything, because the Word of God tells us that God reigns on the evil and the good. His sun shines on the evil and the good. When the sun comes out, and I love to hear my husband say this, when the sun comes out in the daytime, whether you good or whether you evil, the sun is going to shine on you too. I'm talking about the S-U-N. So whether you are a born-again believer, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a murderer, whether you give to the hungry and clothe the naked, guess what? If you're alive, the sun, the S-U-N, is going to shine on you too. So we ought to not get it twisted and think that because, you know, some prayers have been answered or some things that we wish for have come to pass, that we okay with God. We need to examine ourselves every day. If we read the book of Job, if you go to Job chapter 1, and I like this thing about Job. If you go to Job chapter 1, you will see that Job prayed. And when he prayed for his children, he said, I'm going to pray for them just in case they did something wrong. Just in case they did something wrong. Now, he wasn't just praying for himself. He was praying for his children as well. And he would say, I'm just going to pray for them just in case they did something wrong. I mean, that's an awesome prayer that you're praying for your children. Okay, and just in case they did something wrong. I'm just going to pray for my whole family just in case we did something wrong. It says in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, some of his children, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously. Now remember, Job was the richest man in the land of Uz. He was rich. He was a righteous man before God. And you know how it is when we have money and, you know, begin to have all of the stuff. Now imagine in 2012, okay, and people were as rich, if they were rich as he was back then, if we, like, today it wouldn't be the same amount of money, but imagine if you was the guy that made Facebook, that came up with Facebook, or Steve Jobs, you know, or somebody really, 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 really rich. You know, the Bible said don't even seek to get rich because then you forget about God. So this is what he was praying. Let me just pray for my kids, you know, because maybe they have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. We got everything. We don't need God. We got all these sheep. We got all these oxen. We don't have to ask anybody for anything, not even God. So he was covering his children just in case, because we are human. And, you know, sometimes we err, we do sin. But he said, just in case, okay, he said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And it said, thus did Job continuously. That means that he did it more than once. He prayed for his children every day. He was always praying for his children. He was always praying for them. See, and then we got to pray. We got to pray for ourselves, and we got to continuously pray and say, Lord, do I have iniquity in my heart? Do I have anything in my heart that's not pleasing to you? What if it is, God, please show it to me. See, sometimes we don't want to see ourselves. Sometimes we don't want to see ourselves. And I know we just did ministry at a location in Philadelphia, and we handed out some mirrors. And one of the young ladies, one of the evangelists that was with me, she said, now you look in that mirror and you speak positive things. But I think sometimes we need to get up and look in that mirror and say, you know what? I know that I'm not perfect. God, if there's any iniquity in my heart, I want to be clean. I want to be right. I want to be just before you. Because I know that if I regard iniquity in my heart that you won't hear me. Please, God, examine me, search me. We used to sing this song years ago when I was in, Ohio. And we used to sing, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Lord, you know, Lord, whether I'm right. You know, Lord, whether I'm wrong. You know, Lord, whether I'm right or wrong. Search me, Lord. Search my heart, Lord God. Search me. The Bible says, search me. Try me. See if there be anything in me. See if there be any iniquity in me. See if there be anything in me, Lord, that is not like you. Search me and try my reins. Try me, Lord. Search me. Examine my inward self. Examine me. See, that takes a mature Christian. that can say, examine me, Lord. That takes a mature Christian that can say, look, Lord, I know that I'm human. I know that, you know, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. But, Lord, I need you to examine me. I need you to show me me. See, a lot of times our prayers are not being answered because we're so busy looking at other people. We're so busy judging other people. We're so busy condemning other people that we forget that, look, you know, I'm sinning right now just because I'm sitting here judging you. I'm sinning right now because I'm sitting here condemning you. We don't look at it that way. We look at it like, okay, well, we have the right to judge and condemn other people, and then we want to sit by and we want to, you know, act like we have the right and the privilege to do that. See, God is the only one that can condemn us to heaven or grant us permission to go into hell. God is the only one with that power. We can't do it. Sadly, though, a lot of people, just by their actions and their words, think that they have a heaven or a hell to put people in. I'm guilty. I've done it. I've judged people. I've condemned people. Like, who am I to be able to condemn anybody anyway? But I've judged people. I've told people they're going, you just going to hell. I'm like, yeah. And I'm sitting there like thinking I'm all of that when all the time I was messed up. I needed to repent. I was the one on my way to hell. Like the song said, I was a wretch undone, living in a world of sin. I didn't have no hope. I didn't have no peace within. But you couldn't tell me that. Couldn't tell me that. They asked you to go out on the witnessing team. Oh, now you think you all of that. No. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. You know, Lord, whether I'm right. You know, Lord. If nobody else on this planet knows that you're a hidden, you know, you're a closet sinner, God knows. Can I say that? If nobody else in this world knows that you have secret sins, if nobody else on this earth knows that you are regarding iniquity in your heart, please can I let you know that God knows. Please can I tell you that without fear of contradiction, that God knows. So it doesn't matter whether you expose yourself to the world. It doesn't matter if you expose yourself to your pastor. It doesn't matter if you expose yourself to your friend. What matters is that God sees all and knows all, and if we regard iniquity in our hearts, he will not hear us. Oh, but I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. You're fooling yourself. God is not a joke. God is not a play toy. God is not, you know, a pimp. He not, okay, well, I'm just going to give it to her because she's all of that. You know, she's cute. I'm going to give it to her because she's cute. I'm going to give it to him because he's handsome. I'm going to give it to them because they teach so well. I'm going to do. No, come on. There's a lot of people preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and have iniquity in their heart and won't confess it and won't tell God and won't expose it and ask God to search their heart and examine them. And they won't do it because they're still prospering. They won't do it because everything on the outside looks like everything is okay. But the Bible clearly tells us that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will be saved. The Bible also tells us, you know, you've done this in my name. You've healed the sick. You've laid hand on the sick. You cast out demons in my name. You did all of that in my name. But depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't even know you. I don't want God to say that to me. I don't want God to say, you know what? You know, you did ministry, and you know people got saved when you went out and did ministry. You lay hands on a sick and they recovered. You know, people were dead and they were raised from the dead. You know, but get away from me because I don't know you because you have iniquity in your heart all this time. You did it because you wanted people to pat you on the back like as if you had power without me. Come on, Holy Ghost. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't even know you. Can you imagine? Can you just think about that for a moment? Can you just think about that and just really just think about how would you feel if God would tell you that? How would you feel if God would tell you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. And you spent all these years preaching the gospel. And you spent all these years laying hands on the sick and they actually recovered. And you spent all these years helping the poor and feeding the hungry. And you spent all these years doing all of this ministry around the world. And then on the day of judgment, when Jesus comes back and it's time to go meet God face to face, and he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine it all because you regarded iniquity in your heart? You stood on pride instead of humility. It was all about you instead of all about God. You wanted the people to pat you on the back. You wanted the aggrandizements, as my husband says. You wanted all of that. You wanted the glory. Now get away from me. I don't even know you. Depart. I mean, when I think about it, it's like all I can see is, you know, somebody standing before God, and he's just saying, depart from me, and in an instant, you're just going out of his presence, never to return in his presence again, banished from the presence of God, banished forever, all because we regard iniquity in our heart, all because we don't want to repent, all because we don't want to confess that secret sin. I mean, come on, like, seriously, and I don't want to name drop, but, you know, in the tabloids, not in the tabloids, but just in the news in general, people have been coming, you know, been being exposed, all kind of things. Pastors have been exposed as being homosexuals. Pastors have been exposed as being drug users. Pastors have been exposed of, you know, having babies out of wedlock with people in the church, you know, and they're married. So people being exposed for committing adultery, you know, fornication, people being exposed for lying and stealing and doing whatever they do. I mean, because they regard that iniquity in their heart as if God don't see us, as if God don't see the secret things that we're doing, but God sees everything. God sees everything. He hears everything. We cannot hide from God. And even that little bit of sin, whatever that little bit of sin that we think we're doing, oh, it's okay if we do that. God understands. He does understand. He understands that you want to continue in rebellion. He understands that you want to be set apart from him, because we really want to be set apart from God if we want to continue in sin. We know that as Christians, we know that as believers, that we cannot serve God and the devil. We can't serve both of them. We can't serve God part-time and the devil part-time. You either going to serve one or you going to serve the other. You either going to serve God, the God that made the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything that lives and everything that is. You either going to serve him or you going to serve the devil. There's no two ways about it. But the problem is that we have conditioned ourselves to believe that we can regard iniquity. We can have sin in our hearts, and we can just say, oh, God, forgive me, and it's just over like that. Saying you asking God to forgive you and repentance are two different things. It's two different things. Two different things. I can say, okay, Lord, forgive me all day long, but if I don't change my mind about that sin and turn from that sin, I might as well have just kept, Lord, forgive me, to myself. I might as well just have kept, Lord, forgive me, to myself, because God knows what you're saying and why you're saying it. Sometimes we say that stuff to appease ourselves. Sometimes we say Lord, forgive me, you know, in such a pious way, you know, like a pompous way, as if. Just because we said it like that, you know, God's just going to automatically forgive us. He knows before those words came out of our mouths that we didn't mean it when we said it. Or we might have meant it when we said it, but we didn't repent. We didn't turn away from that thing. See, let me tell you something. We need the Holy Ghost. I wish y'all would have listened to my husband on the broadcast, Jesus in the Morning, this morning, when he was talking about the Holy Ghost. And he always says that the Holy Ghost is not a sidekick. He's not God's sidekick. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. He is God. His presence in this world today. He sent Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back to us. He said, and you will be endued with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, we don't call on the Holy Ghost. We just want to do things, you know, of our own. We think that we got it like that, that we can just do things on our own, but we need the Holy Ghost. If we have the Holy Ghost will show us. He will quicken us. He will show us, don't do that. You need to confess that. You need to repent of that. You need to stop doing that. The Holy Ghost will bring that. He'll bring it to our attention. But see, the Holy Ghost tells us a lot of stuff, and we don't want to listen to it because we want to keep doing what we're doing. Okay, we talked about secret sin. All right, there are some other hindrances to prayer that I want to talk about. One of the main things is unforgiveness. See, let me say something. Anything that I name that is a hindrance to prayer, that means if we're doing that, we're in rebellion to the Word of God. We're in rebellion against God. Anything that we do that is sinful and we continuously do that thing, we are in straight rebellion. We are in straight rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And God don't deal with He don't deal with witchcraft. Okay? We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be rebellious. We want to ask God, God, I need you to forgive me. I want to repent of this sin. I want to repent because, you know what, I don't like so-and-so over there. I don't like so-and-so because she, and don't even know why you don't like her for real, or him, or so-and-so did something to me, God, and I can't forgive them for that. I can't forgive them for that. I just went through a situation where I just was like, look, I can't forget it. I'm having a problem with this. I can't forget it. I just can't. And I actually had to go to God. And God he don't deal with that. Lord, I wanted, but He don't deal with the but. So let's just get a big old Sharpie, a black one, and cross that word out. But, B-U-T, okay, because but just canceled everything you said. I want to forgive, Lord, but, see, when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't say, Father, forgive them, but, or I forgive them, but He was obedient to the Father and He went to the cross. They lied on Him. They ridiculed Him. They spit on Him. They pulled His hair out. They put a crown of thorns on His head. They beat Him unrecognizable. And He still went to the cross. He still lay there and let them put those nails in His hands and His feet. He still got hung up on that cross and let them pierce Him in the side. He said, Father, before He went to the cross, when He was in the garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. See, and that's what we need to get that mindset. We say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to forgive so-and-so, but Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to stop gossiping, Lord, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God, I doubt you. I don't know if I can trust you, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I'm asking this for the wrong reason, but Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Help me, help my motives to be pure when I come to you. Lord, help my motives. Lord, even when I ask you for something, that I know is a genuine, I'm asking you, just let my motives be pure, because sometimes our motives can be tainted. Lord, search my heart. I want my motives to be pure. Lord, check me. Make sure the love I talk about is really in me. The love that I talk about and that I preach about so much, or the love that I teach about, or the love that I just read about. Let your love be in me so much, God. And if it's not, I ask you to forgive me. Help me. Help me not to criticize people. Help me not to judge people. Help me not to condemn people. Help me not to be like that, God. I need you to examine me. God, if there's anything inside of me that is not like you, please, God, I need you to help me. In the name of Jesus, I need your Holy Spirit to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. We don't want to hear that, though. We don't want to hear that because we think we got it all together. Oh, well, I'm saved now. Oh, I'm saved now. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Did you hear that? But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I don't want to be approaching God and acting like, you know, God just going to answer me because I'm Teresa. God know I've been through so much in my life, so he just going to answer my prayers because I'm Teresa. We better get that thing together. Oh, because I'm pastor so-and-so, and I'm apostle so-and-so, and I'm bishop so-and-so, and I'm evangelist so-and-so, and I'm teacher so-and-so, and I'm deacon or deaconess so-and-so, and I'm the choir director at so-and-so's church. And you know we got 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 members in our church, so God is going to automatically answer my prayer. Because you know what? If he wasn't going to answer my prayer, then I wouldn't be the pastor or the apostle or the pastor or the teacher or the elder or the choir director or the Sunday school teacher or the... we got it twisted. What happened along the way? We get so pompous and pious and, you know, especially those of us with titles and just think we all of that. And God just going boom, bam, answer us because we're praying. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, he won't hear us. He won't hear us. And see, we don't want to have those rubber prayers, you know, those rubber band prayers, you know, that just bounce off the ceiling and come back down. It sounds good to us, but God not even hearing it. Huh? Huh? Y'all can't even love one another. Y'all see each other every week when you go to church, and you still can't. We done been in church, in the same church, for 20 years, and I still hate your guts. I still won't forgive you for sitting in my seat 20 years ago. I still won't forgive you because they chose you to be the choir director instead of me. Now, we've been in church for 20 years. I still won't forgive you. Because the man that I was lusting after, you decided that you was going to sleep with him, and now y'all got a baby, and that should have been my baby. You know, me and him should have been together. We should, come on, come on, come on. That kind of stuff. We hold the unforgiveness in our hearts, and we want God to just overlook that and just answer us anyway. God's supposed to just overlook everything we do, and he's supposed to just answer us anyway because we said we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We made a public confession out of that. We got baptized. You know, we went down in that water and got baptized. Now, God's supposed to just answer us just because we could do whatever we want to do, and God just going, okay, I'm just going to answer that because, you know, that's T.D. Jakes. I'm just going to answer because that's T.D. Jakes that's asking a prayer. Come on. Let's ask God to search us. Let's ask God to search our hearts if you're bold enough. If you're bold enough. Not a lot of people are bold enough to do that because a lot of people don't want to turn from what they're doing. I'm just saying, I'm not perfect. I know I got to always ask God to forgive me. Turn to Psalm 139. We just want to go to Psalm 139 real quick, and I'm going to get to the chat room and read some of the stuff that my husband has typed in there. But I'm trying to tell you, we that scripture, like, I can't, it won't leave me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. It's like, right? I mean, Can we? We're talking to the body of Christ. We're talking to the body of Christ. And we want to get it right because we don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know when he's coming back. He might come back in the next minute. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, he might come back in the next 5 minutes. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, he might come back tomorrow while you gossiping and lying. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. That little lie you told is a lie. I don't care how little you want it to be. It's a lie. Oh, God, I'm burning in my flesh. I just can't help it. I had to sleep with her. I had to sleep with him. But I'm not, I don't want to tell nobody because I don't want anybody to know. I want to read Psalm 139. Whatever sin that we have in our hearts, we need to ask God to forgive us and we need to repent. We need to repent. God, this is what I'm doing. I need you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. I beg you, God, please forgive me. We don't have to beg God because if we really mean it in our hearts, he will forgive us. He will forgive us. But we got to be real with us. So whether it's gossip, whether it's lying, whether it's, you know, husbands and wives not getting along and doing what they're supposed to do, all right, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's hate, whether it's jealousy, whether it's pride, whatever it is that's hindering you from prayer and keeping you from being free in the spirit, then if I were you, I would confess that stuff and get myself clean. Psalm 39 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Before I even think it, you understand my thought. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." You can turn off all the lights in your house. You can go to the darkest part of the earth. It could be an eclipse. You can do all of that, and God is still there. He knows where you are. He knows everything about us. Verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." And David says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He goes on to just begin to praise God and magnify him. But we need to concentrate on these verses prior to that. Verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?" No matter where I go, I can go to the uttermost parts of the earth. I can go to the deepest part of the ocean. I can go to the deepest part of the sea. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. No matter where I am, you're there. In that secret place, while you're behind those closed doors and nobody knows what you're doing, while you're snorting that cocaine, while you're smoking that weed, while you're drinking that liquor, while you're fornicating and committing adultery, while you're lying and stealing and backbiting and judging and condemning, God is right there.
He's not being bamboozled. He knows exactly what we're doing. Even in the darkness, you can pull down all the shades. You can put up that stuff that makes everything in your house dark. You can put up black blinds. You can go hide in your room, you know, and turn off all the lights. He is still there. He's still there. Can't change it. He is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. We cannot hide from God. We cannot excuse our sin and think it's okay with God. We cannot just sin and then go before a holy God and say, answer my prayer, and then just expect him to answer our prayer because we told him to. Or because we asked him to, and no matter how many $50 words we used, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God don't hear us. Excuse my improper English. God does not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And if we regard iniquity in our hearts, we better check our salvation. If we can constantly sin, continuously doing the same thing over and over again, living a complete lifestyle of sin, we better check our salvation. We better check our salvation. See, because we can't say we live for God but act like the devil. We can say it, but the only person who we're fooling is ourselves. We can say a lot of stuff, but that just because we say it doesn't mean it's right. But the word of God is going to stand forever. The word of God is not going to change because we want it to change. The word of God is not going to change because, you know, our situation is this, that, or the third. The word of God is going to stay the same today and forever. The word of God is not going to change for us, but we should change because of the word of God. We should allow the word of God to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But if we never read the word, if we never pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh, if we never pray on the whole armor of God, if we never see God's face, how do we expect for God to answer our prayers? Why would we even expect him to answer our prayers? That's like a child. If you have a child, then that child never communicates with you. But then one day, at 16 years old, now they haven't spoken to you. They haven't obeyed you. They haven't done anything you said. But then when they turn sweet 16, they come to you, Mommy, Daddy, can I have a car? Huh? You haven't obeyed me since you've been of the age of accountability. Since you've known right from wrong, you have not obeyed me. Everything I've said to you, you've disobeyed me. Everything I've said to you, you've done, you know, you were rebellious. Everything I've said to you, you just did the contrary, and you're coming to me asking me for a car because you're a sweet 16? Are you kidding me? And then that child expects, yeah, I still want you to give me that car. Yep, I sure do. And I'm going to continue to disobey you. I'm going to continue to be rebellious. I'm going to continue to ignore you. I'm going to continue to not have a relationship with you, but I still want you to bless me anyway. Still give me an allowance. Still buy me the nicest clothes. Still let me do what I want to do. But you give me what I want. But you let me do what I want to do. And that's how we act with God. We act like a spoiled, rotten little child. And we just want God to answer us because we want him to answer us because we want something and we want it right then. And then when he doesn't answer us, we have a temper tantrum. And then we say, God, you know you're unfair. Why didn't you bless me? And not even consider the fact that we got iniquity in our heart. Are we perfect? No. But we should be striving for perfection. We should be repenting every time we think we did something wrong. Lord, I repent. I won't do that again. Lord, I'm sorry. Cleanse me, Lord God. Wash me. Purge me. We don't pray those kind of prayers. We pray the fluff stuff and think, ah. God is good. We walk around and say the things that sound religious. God is good. How you doing? I'm blessed. Because right now things are going okay. Everything's going okay. Your bills are paid. You got a nice paying job. You know, you got a flat screen TV, two or three of them in your house. You know, your house note is on time. Your car payment is on time. You got a little bit of something in the bank. You know, you look halfway decent when you go outside. hair done. Man, you looking good from the top to the bottom. So everything is all good. You know, I woke up this morning and I was like, hey, God, you know, bless me today. Give me what I want. But I'm going to go out here and I'm just going to do what I want to do. Oh, no, you don't say that? You don't say that to God? You don't have to, because your actions, you do it. You do it. I do it. We do things that are just not godly. We do things that are contrary to God. And we just be like, now I done said the sinner's prayer. I gave my life to Christ. So, yeah, you got to answer my prayer. What? He is the potter and we are the clay. He created us. We did not create God. He created us. He created us. But because we're so used to going uncorrected, because we haven't had calamity in our life, because we haven't had destruction in our life, we think it's okay for us to continue to do what we're doing. We think it's all right that we can just continue to, you know, not forgive, not love. My husband said the other day, he said, well, you know, the Bible says love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. How many of us really do 1 Corinthians chapter 13? How many of us really do 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Soon as somebody step on your foot, here comes the expletives. Here comes the bad attitude. Here. I'm not forgiving her. Why you don't like her? Why you don't like him? I don't know. I just don't like him. But that's God's creation. That's God's creation. I was looking at somebody today, and I just got to tell you, I got to be honest. I was looking at somebody today, and this person was so large. I mean, out of control large. And I was looking at this person, and the outfit that this person had on was just, a person of that size should not have had that outfit on. Let me, that's my opinion. It didn't look nice. The outfit just exaggerated the person's shape, and there was nothing left to the imagination. You could just see every roll, and I was sitting there and I was like, Lord, why? Why would she come out the house like that? Why would they come out looking like that? Like, did they not have a mirror? I mean, what? I understand if, you know, you want to be proud about your body. Okay, that's all fine and good. But cover that up. Everybody don't want to see that. That's what I'm sitting there saying. And I had all kind of thoughts running through my mind. And I had to say, God, please forgive me. I repent, Father God, because no matter what, that's your creation. That's your, you might not have made them big like that. But that person is your creation. And I'm sitting here talking about this person. I was by myself. I wasn't talking to any person about it. But God heard me. He heard my thoughts. He heard the, what? He heard all of that. And I had to repent. By myself. Wasn't nobody in there when I was talking about it. I had to repent. So we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. I don't care what title we have. I don't care who we think we are. See, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Okay. My husband has said a lot in the chat room, and I'm not going to go over all of this, but he has said a lot. He said, we are never pure or holy enough to avoid praying. Now, that right there is excellent, because we are never pure or holy enough to avoid praying.
The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. He said, some become proud and fall back into the very sin that once had us bound. Because we think we overcame that thing because we prayed about it. And that's not the thing that bothers us anymore. Satan can't tempt us with that particular thing anymore. So we just stop praying altogether. But see, we're setting ourselves up when we don't pray. We're setting ourselves up because don't you know when we pray, God will reveal the plan of the enemy. And if he doesn't reveal the plan of the enemy, he gives us strength to endure it. He gives us strength to endure it. He gives us power to overcome it. But we think we all that. We don't got to pray. Oh, I'm holy now. I've been consecrated an apostle. I don't have to pray. You peons pray. You lift my arms up because I'm doing the work of the Lord. I'm preaching every Sunday and I'm going out and I'm planning a church here. I'm planning a church there. You peons pray for me. I don't have to pray. Come on now. Come on. You need a road to Damascus experience to get slapped off that horse, that high horse you on, and come back to reality. He says the word tells us to examine ourselves. And one thing I have a pet peeve with is with Holy Communion, is that we take Holy Communion as if, you know, it's just a cracker and some juice. That's what some people's attitudes are towards Holy Communion. And people go to Holy Communion and because the preacher is standing up there saying, Lord, forgive us for our sins, please forgive us before we take this communion. And hearts are still not right if people are taking communion. The Bible says examine yourself so that you don't take this Holy Communion so you don't eat it and drink it unworthily. But see, we don't want to examine ourselves. It's easier for us to look at other people and expose their sin or talk about what they're doing that's not right. But then when it comes to ourselves, we don't want, what? Who are you to be coming to me about my sin, pastor, apostle, bishop, elder, pastor in charge, prophet? Who are you to come to me to tell me about my sin? I'm a prophet, I'm an elder, I'm an evangelist, I'm a bishop, I'm an apostle, I'm all of these. I got all of them hit. So who are you to come tell me anything? Or how about this? Somebody that ain't been saved for about a minute compared to somebody that's been saved for 12 years or 20 years, and then the little person that only been saved for 5 minutes say something to you about your sin because the Holy Spirit then gave them wisdom and knowledge about the situation. And you say, you have no right to talk to me. Who are you? You have no right to talk to me. I'm the so-and-so. Who are you to talk to me? Huh? Now because you have a title, no one can talk to you? God can't even talk to you? God sent a prophet to you, and you don't even want to listen to the prophet? God sent his word. He'll send you past a billboard. He'll send somebody, a commercial, something to try to get your attention. And that ain't for me. I know you know so-and-so. I know that's for her. I hope Teresa was looking at that TV station because that was for her. I hope Gerald heard that word because that sure was for him. Oh, so-and-so should have been in church today because that word was for them. Not even considering your own self. Oh, no, that word was for such and such and thus and this and who. Huh? What you saying? What about you? What about you? He said, allow the will of God to override our will. A lot of us don't know how to do that because we've been operating in our will for so long. We wouldn't know how to let the Holy Ghost override us.
We wouldn't know how to let God override us if he stood right in our face and said, I want to override you. Be like, nope. Nope. I got to be in control. I got to be in control. Nope. I got to do it my way. Nope. And you say, well, I would never do that. Well, how about you've probably already done it when you withstood the word of God, when you withstood instructions from the pastor, the instructions that were given from the heart of God, not, you know, the pastor that want to, you know, be in control and want to be, you know, make it, everything I say you do. No matter what it is, I'm not talking about that. But we obey Satan quicker than we obey God. Oops, did you just say that? We obey Satan quicker than we obey God. Oops, did you just say that again? We obey and follow evil spirits quicker than we obey God. Well, why would you say that, Evangelist? Why would you say something like that? We're born again. We have the Holy Ghost because you still have a free will. You still have a free will. See, God sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back for us, but he's not going to force us to do anything. He's not going to force us to obey the word of God. He's not going to force us to ask God to search our hearts. He's not going to force us to pray. He's not going to force us to read the word of God. He's not going to force us to fast. He's not going to force us to forgive. He's not going to force us to get rid of bitterness and clamor and evil speaking and all of that stuff. He's not going to force us to do anything. We got to want to do this. And we got to want to do it. Why? Because we love God. Somebody that we really, 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 really love, we're not going to really, really, really hurt them. Not continuously. We're going to do whatever we can do to be like, Lord, you know, I just want to please you. I want you to be pleased with me. We don't do that to one another. We don't do that. We go to a certain degree and then we clench, you know, we clam up. I'm not going to give that person my heart because they just going to step on my heart again. I'm not going to give this person my heart because they don't really love me anyway. They don't really want me anyway. They don't really this anyway. Head bobbing and weaving. No. See, and a lot of people are in trouble because they don't have, they're not accountable. There's no accountability. So we walking around all willy-nilly because we don't have anybody to be accountable to. We're not really scared of God because if we were, we wouldn't continuously be living in sin and call ourselves believers. We don't have reverential fear for God. We don't have real fear for God like, oh, yeah, I'm really scared of you, God. We don't have none of that. A lot of us don't. I'm saying it that way. If it's not you, go on, pass over this. But we don't really have that fear of God. We don't have that real love of God because if we did, we wouldn't be in the places that we be. I'm talking about in what we do and what we say and what we think. We wouldn't be in those places if we really, really, really loved God like we say we do. See, what you do, like my husband says, and I don't know who came up with this, but what you do speak so loudly, I can't even hear what you say. You tell me you love me, but when you see me, you can't even give me a hug. Oh, I don't like her. I just don't like her. It's just something about her. I just don't like him. He just think he know everything, and he just, you know, I just don't like him. That's how me and my husband were when we first met. He didn't like me, and I ain't like him. We didn't even know each other. We just didn't like each other because what we saw of each other while we were together at the daycare, the very day we met, we didn't like each other. Didn't know him from a can of paint. He didn't know me from a can of paint. But we didn't like each other at all. Oh, she thinks she all of that. And I'm like, well, he think he missed the know-it-all. I don't need him to help me. We couldn't stand each other. But then we got to know each other and start breaking down that foolishness. And now we're married, almost 13 years. I don't like so-and-so. Why? I don't know. I just don't. Well, you need to talk to God about that. You need to ask God to search you and say, God, what's wrong with me? Why don't I like anybody? He'll tell you if you want to hear him. He'll tell you if you don't want to hear him. It's up to you to do what you're going to do after he finished telling you. Secret sin. Folks don't know that you had a closet alcoholic. They don't know. They don't know you. You know, what you call them people that just can't get enough sex. So you just dropping it like it's hot everywhere, but people don't know. Cause you sing good when you come to church, you pray loud when you come to church, you speak in tongues or you interpret tongues when you come to church. You got a Blog Talk Radio broadcast. People don't know that while you doing a broadcast, you got that 40 ounce sitting right there because nobody can see you. You can't wait till the broadcast is over so you can hit that weed. You can't wait till the broadcast is over so you can get on the phone and gossip about this person and gossip about that person. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Oh, but I got a TV broadcast. Yeah, I come on 3-4 times a day. Yep, mm-hmm. These people don't know nothing about me. They just see what they see on TV. I'm so-and-so. Come on, don't tell nobody now. I'm going to give you $5,000. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody I asked you to do something that's unseemly and unrighteous and unholy. Don't tell nobody. Meet me at Motel 6. They're going to keep the lights on for us. Meet me there. Nobody going to know. He said a nymphomaniac. Oh, okay. Sex addict, the nymphomaniac. Thank you. Nobody going to know. Why am I saying that? Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. And I'm saying this because I remember one time I was with this person. I was actually going to church with one of my sisters. And this young pastor, you know, he could play the keyboard, the organ, the piano. He could play these things like nobody's business. Okay, and it was just a gift that God had given him. And I wasn't married at the time, and he wasn't married. He had never been married. And he decided that he wanted to take me on a date. So I said, where are we going? You know, and suggested some places around the city, you know, close proximity to where I lived. He said, no, we can't go there. I said, why not? He said, because somebody might see us. Now, if you got to have a relationship with somebody and you got to hide. First of all, why did you have to hide? Because he was a man and I was a woman. Neither one of us were in a relationship. So why did you have to hide? Why did you have to take me all the way down Roosevelt Boulevard somewhere by Red Lion Road, way out somewhere, to be on a date with me? Then you tell me, oh, you can't smoke. This is when I was smoking. I was born again, going to church. At least I thought I was born again. But I was going to church. I was always in the place. He tells me, you can't smoke. Why? Because it's not right. It's unholy. Okay, well, we're out here. You don't want nobody to know we're doing this. And then later on I found out that he was bisexual. So I don't know if he didn't want his male friends to see him on a date with a woman, or he didn't want his women friends to see him on a date with another woman. But then he was trying to be the pastor of the church, so he wanted to let everybody to think that, you know, he was pure, he was good, he was all that. But a whole bunch of stuff started coming out. And that was years and years ago that this happened. But if we got to do stuff and we got to hide, don't you know that you know that's a sin? Because if you're doing something that's upstanding and upright, why do you have to hide? But we think we're hiding from God all the time. We think we're hiding from God all the time. We just read in Psalm 139 that no matter where you go, God is there. He's not involved in our sin, but he's right there. He sees everything we're doing. I'm not saying that because I want you to think, oh, God, he's just, you know, he's so demanding. Like, I just can't do nothing. I'm saying it like that because that's how we talk sometimes. I can't do nothing. N-U-F-F-I-N. I can't do nothing. I can't do anything. Come on now. God is holy. Why would he allow us to continue in sin and he's a holy God? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If we do secret sins and continue to sin, it's going to lead to another sin. 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 And next thing you know, your heart is so dark and your heart is so black that you don't hear God. You don't hear the people of God. You don't hear nothing. You think the word of God wasn't written for you. You think the prayer line not for you. You think deliverance is not for you. That's how far it gets. Oh, I'm good. I don't want you to pray for me. I'm good. Huh? What? The Bible tells us that sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we ask with the wrong motive. We ask with the wrong motive. Sometimes we go in prayer with the wrong motive. We just go in prayer because Pastor said we're praying every morning from 6 to 7. Oh, man, I don't feel like praying from 6 to 7. Man, why they tell us that we got to pray from 6 to 7? I don't feel like doing it. But then we go and we do it up. Go in with a half-hearted, with a funky attitude. The pastor says we have in prayer on Friday night. Come to church on Friday night because we have in prayer. What? Don't they know I work all day? I'm not going to prayer. I can pray at home. Attitude. God sees that and hears that. Man, it don't take all that. Why? I mean, come on. God sees that. Then we go and then we pray and wonder why. I ain't feel nothing. And wonder why that prayer wasn't answered. Wonder why no fire from heaven fell down. Wonder why nobody got healed. No wonder why nobody got set free and delivered. Sometimes the pastor be going in with the wrong heart. I called the prayer, but now I don't even feel like going. Mm-mm. No, I got too much going on right now. No, mm-mm. All of y'all go. I'll just stay home. I'm not talking about the Lord said you can stay home and let everybody else go to pray. No, I'm not talking about that. But if the Lord called the prayer, don't you know he want all of us there so we can be together in unity, so he can command the blessing? But some of us become so pious and high-minded, we think when God called a prayer, he didn't call it for us, he called it for everybody else. Oh, man, I crack myself up sometimes. That was funny. But it's true, and don't tell me you don't know that it's true, because it is. If you are on this broadcast and you are not born again, I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I invite you. I invite you to read up on Jesus Christ. Read the Gospel of John. Read all of the Gospels. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of 1 John. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how good it feels. I don't care how good it looks. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no life. I don't care who told you it was. You think you live in La Vida Loca or live in La Vida Loco? If it's without Christ, you're really not living. If you're born again, or you were born again, or you're born again and you backslid, you feel like, you know, I'm just chilling right now. I don't want to do what I do. Right now, you know, I'll pick up God later on because right now, you know, I got to do this. I got to handle this right here. This is what I want to do. If that's you and you just say, God, I really don't want to deal with you right now. Maybe you haven't said it, but your actions are saying that. You have an opportunity to come back to him right now, right this second, wherever you are. Wherever you are. If you're an atheist and you just really don't believe that there is a God, I challenge you to read the Word of God. And ask God, if you're real for real, I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want you to save my soul. Fill me with the Holy Ghost if you're really real. And watch what God does for you. But if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, you can repent of your sins. You can confess your sins. You can say, Lord, I'm a sinner. But God, I heard the word tonight and I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven. I want to love you, though. I just want to get to know you and I want to love you. See, maybe we need to start courting Jesus again. Maybe we need to go on a date with him. How am I going on a date with him? Get in prayer. Seek him with your whole heart. Talk to him and let him talk to you. Read the word of God and don't look at it as just some words in a book. Look at it as God's letter to you, God's instruction to you, God's love towards you. Look at it like that and accept it that way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't be like that King Agrippa in the book of Acts where he said, almost thou persuaded me. Almost thou persuaded me. My husband says we obey Satan because he offers us things that satisfies the flesh and entices our lustful desires. See, I can't talk like that. I just talk like this. He said we obey Satan because he offers us things that satisfies the flesh and entices our lustful desires. So we obey Satan because he gives us things that we want. He fascinates us to assassinate us. He thrills us to kill us. He told Eve, did God really say that? And Eve partook of the fruit and then gave her husband the fruit. Now the relationship between them and God was severed. It was messed up. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because the relationship was messed up. But see, nothing that Satan can offer you is worth your soul. Nothing. He told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you all of this. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord God only, and him shalt thou serve. Him shalt thou worship. Only God, only the Lord God, not you. And that's what we got to do. We got to choose life today. We got to choose to walk in freedom in the Holy Spirit. We got to choose to obey. It's a choice. And we have 1 minute left. And I pray that, you know, you hear the word of God and hear it in the Spirit. Don't hear it in your head knowledge, but hear it in the Spirit so that God can bless you. Don't hear it from Teresa. Hear it from the Spirit. See, I didn't write the Bible. God did. And remember this if you remember nothing else. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. And also read and meditate Psalm 139. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. May this broadcast bless you and keep you until we meet again on Monday, if the Lord wills. God bless you. Have a great, great night. Hallelujah.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh.